Hello everyone, welcome to the Pericaleo Podcast. I'm your host, Ashton Wright. I want you to know that I am so thankful that you are with us today. I hope this episode encourages, comforts, and empowers you to live your life for the glory of God. Today we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 7 through 16. And today's title is Walking in the Light. Walking in the Light. And before I read, I just want to kind of explain the passage, the structure of the passage. And throughout Scripture, especially in the New Testament, especially in Paul's writings and in books of the Bible that we would call didactic passages, these are very practical, to the point. A lot of times, it's a lot of doctrine and it's a lot of practical application. And so when we read these didactic type passages, definitely the letters in the New Testament, Paul's letters in the New Testament, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and a lot of those letter type books are didactic passages. So not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John or Acts. Those are actually called those are actually the Gospels. They're more of a narrative, right? They're telling a story, and so those are not the same type of passages that we're looking at. The passages that are looking at today in Ephesians, and Ephesians is a unique book because it's the first three chapters are doctrine, what we need to know as Christians, and then the last three chapters, 4, 5, and 6, are practical application, how to live out our relationship with Christ. And so today we're talking about walking in the light, and verse 7 is where we pick up, but in that first word in verse 7 says therefore. So if you go back to chapter 5 verse 1 and all the way through verse 6, you look at being an imitator of God, right, as beloved children and walking in love, and you hear that command, be imitators of God. And so Paul says, as a result of the fact that you should be an imitator of God, not a son of disobedience, not walking in darkness, you should be instead walking in the light, walking in holiness, walking in righteousness. And he uses the word light. But we'll read verses 7 through 16, and I want to make a few comments. As you read, you'll notice that Paul gives a command, or what I'm going to call a precept, and then he gives a principle. So he tells them a command, something to do, and then after that, he tells them the reason why. And so look at verse 7, and as we read this, you'll notice it. So it says, therefore do not become partners with them. Okay, that's the command, right? That's the precept. Verse 8, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So he tells us, why shouldn't we partner with the sons of disobedience? Why shouldn't we partner with those who practice darkness? Because we were darkness, but now we're light in the Lord. Look at the rest of verse 8. Once again, walk as children of light. I mean, very clear command. Then he tells us in verse 9 why we should. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Verse 10, it's another precept. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Another command. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So there's another principle, what I'm going to call principle. Another reason, it's a principle for why the command is important. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. So, another command, another precept. Then he says, because the days are evil, principle. And so I have four precepts and four principles. However, the precepts and principles, as I've showed you in the text, go together. So I'm not going to give you four precepts and then four principles. It'll be a precept and a principle, precept and principle, and that reflects the structure of the text. So I want to illustrate what Paul is doing here, and because this is something that we all have, and we all do, is we all want to know why. Maybe growing up, or even now in your life, when someone asks you to do something or tells you to do something, you want to say, why? Well, why do I have to do that? Why are you asking me to do this thing? Why do I have to do it right now? Well, why do you want it done this way? We love to know why. And so Paul here is telling us, hey, here's how you should live. Here's the things that you need to do as a Christian. If you want to walk in the light, you want to live as a light in the world, you want to walk in holiness and righteousness, you need to do this, and this is why you should do it. This is why you should walk in holiness. And so the first precept is actually found in verse 7. He says, do not partner with them. And Paul's command is not to partner with those who walk in sin and darkness. And the question I want to ask you is, how can we be a witness? How can we stand out if we follow the world? Instead of being those that stand out and lead in righteousness, we follow people in unrighteousness. You know, think about a thermostat versus a thermometer. And I can't claim to have come up with this illustration. I've heard it from multiple people. But a thermostat controls the environment, right? If it's too hot, you turn the thermostat down, it cools the room, and everything in the room is cooler. And then vice versa. A thermostat controls the temperature in the room. A thermometer, on the other hand, so a thermostat controls the room and the environment, and everything else adapts to it. But a thermometer is the opposite. If it's hot, thermometer raises its temperature. If it's cold, the thermometer drops its temperature. It is affected by the environment. And so that's the precept that Paul gives us. He says, listen, in a sense, with that illustration, you should not be a thermometer, but be a thermostat. You should not be one to walk in darkness because the world walks in darkness. You should be the one that leads the way in righteousness. Do not partner with them. Do not walk in darkness with them. Don't walk in sin with them. You are called to stand out. But then in verse 8, he follows up with, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And he tells us, so why should we not partner with them? He tells us, because you're children of light. Paul's reason for us to walk in light and not in darkness is because we've been saved. So he doesn't just tell us, hey, do this. He says, this is why you should do it. And the thing is if we have trusted in the gospel and have become light of the world, how can we walk in the darkness of sin? You know, when I was growing up, people would come up to me in my hometown and say, is your dad David Wright? And even people I've never seen in my life, they would know who my dad is. And I would say, yes, you know, kind of nervously, like, I've never met you before, but sure, yes, that is my dad. And they would say, you look just like him. You look just like your dad. You know, my mannerisms, facial expressions, you know, the color of my eyes, the color of my hair, the way I walk, my face structure, everything about me, I look just like my dad. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves, if we are children of God, we should walk and look like we should walk and look in a Christ and like a Christ-like manner. That we're children of light. How can we walk in darkness? Do you look like your father? And if your father is, and that's a spiritual sense, do you look like your father? Do you have a Christ-like behavior, a Christ-like attitude, a Christ-like vocabulary, so on and so forth? So he goes, excuse me. In the next precept, he tells us in verse 8, latter part of verse 8, he says, but now you are light in the Lord. He says, and this is what he says, walk as children of light. The word walk means how we live our lives. It's our daily lifestyle. We must constantly remind ourselves to pursue holiness in our lives. You know, it reiterates the point that we're children of light. We should walk like it. We should live like it. We should pursue holiness. So Paul says, walk as children of light. That's who you are. And then how do we know if we're walking as children of light? Well, Paul gives us the principle here. Look at verse 9. He says, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. He tells us our fruit, the things that we produce, is the proof. If we are practicing godliness, then it will be evident in our lives. The fruit of our lives proves who we are. We can talk a big talk, but at the end of the day, our lifestyle, our actions, our words, the things that we do prove who we are. We can sit back and say all day that we're this, that, and the other, but look at someone's life. Look at your life. Examine your life. Now, not just a moment or a few days, but I'm saying the totality of your life. Since you have given your life to Christ, you've made a profession of faith, you were saved, but and to now, what fruit have you been producing? Do you desire God? Do you desire to grow in your relationship with God? Do you love God's word? Do you pray? Do you come to church? Do you share the gospel? Is there fruit? Is there proof in your life that you're walking as a child of light, a child of God? So Paul says that here's the principle. The fruit is the proof. You're called to walk as a child of light, and the fruit of your life is the proof. Look at the third precept in Ephesians chapter 5, 10 through 11. It says, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. And so Paul tells us to flee evil and expose it. And this is something that we have to realize, is that we are not called to only flee evil. That's not just the only thing, is flee evil, just don't do bad stuff, but it's to expose evil. And this must be done in truth and love. And so then the question is, well, why should we expose evil, right? That's the question. Well, look what the third principle, Paul tells us in verses 12 through 14, look what happens when we expose darkness by the light of the gospel and by God's word. Look at verse 12. He says, for it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. It's just truth, right? But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Paul's clear is that exposing darkness reveals the light. That people cannot know the truth unless we share it with them. Light pushes back darkness and reveals what truth is. When sin is exposed, it forces us and others to deal with our sin. If we are not the light in this world, who will be? I mean, we have to realize that we have to stand for truth and love. We have got to tell people that there is no way of salvation in anyone else. That we are sinful, that we have fallen short of God's glory, that we're in desperate need of a Savior, that we can't please God, that nothing in us is pleasing to God, that we're separated from God because of our sin, and spiritually we are dead, that Jesus Christ, God's only Son, came to this earth, He lived a perfect life, He died on the cross for our sin, He took the punishment of your sin and my sin, and He was our substitute, and He died, and He was buried in the tomb, and 3 days later He was raised to life, and He ascended to heaven. And one day He's returning and He's coming back. And if we have not repented and believed upon Him for salvation and for the forgiveness of sin, we will be judged for our sin. We will eternally be judged for our sin. That our only hope is Jesus Christ. And listen, that's what Paul says. Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Exposing sin makes people aware to the fact that they are in sin by the truth of God's word. When we expose people's sin by the truth of God's word, the illumination takes place. The Holy Spirit is working in their heart and in their mind, removing the blinders from their eyes, and the word of God penetrates their heart and shows them who they are apart from Christ, who we are apart from Christ. And so exposing darkness reveals the light. It's not just killing sin in our life and fleeing darkness. It's revealing darkness and exposing it. And then lastly, he just gives us an exhortation here. He says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time. Paul says, finally, the last precept, the last command is to be effective and faithful. To be effective and faithful. We must be effective and faithful in the time we have. Listen, we cannot sit back and do nothing. The difficulty of our time does not negate our responsibility. We must be on the front lines fighting darkness and making the light of the gospel known. If you're listening today and you're a Christian, listen, we have work to do. God hasn't called us home. There are people to reach. There's a responsibility for us to be effective and to be faithful. And you know, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that, oh, you know, you and I have that being effective means, you know, we win 10 people to the Lord every day. That's not what I'm saying. Or being faithful is winning 20 people to the Lord every day. No, we must be effective and faithful. We must be busy. We must labor. We must work and not grow weary in doing what God's called us to do, but work and labor until God calls us home. Be faithful to stand for the truth. Be faithful to labor for the kingdom of God and holiness. Pursue righteousness. Share the gospel. Love people. Stand for the truth of that is God's word. Be effective and be faithful. That's what God's called us to. Not to be lazy servants. Not to be unfaithful, but to be effective and to be faithful. And then lastly, the final principle is in verse 16. Paul says, listen, why should we be effective and faithful? Look what he says. The days are evil. The days are evil. And the thing is this. The days are evil. The principle is the days are evil and time is short. I mean, Paul's point is clear. That this is his way of exhorting us to get up and get busy. Get to work. I want to end with this illustration. Alexander the Great, there was an illustration, a story that there was a man in his army. And Alexander was walking up and down, seeing his army and seeing his soldiers. And there was a man in his army named Alexander. And this Alexander that was in the army as a soldier had the reputation of being lazy and wasn't effective and didn't work hard and wouldn't do the things that he was commanded to do. He was insubordinate and rejected authority and he didn't want to work hard and he didn't want to be in the army. And the people in the army didn't even like him. And he didn't have a great reputation. And Alexander the Great walked by him and told him and said, you have two options. Change your name or be the best soldier that you can be. And why? He didn't want to share a name with somebody that was lazy. He said, you bear such a great name. And this is a little prideful, but you bear such a great name with the name Alexander. Don't be lazy and dishonor that name. And so I take that principle and I want us to think about it in a godly manner. Our time is short. God has called us to be excellent servants. He's called us to do things to the best of our abilities. And for us to dishonor his name by being lazy and indifferent and just, you know, being dominated and busy with other things, we're dishonoring his name when we're not faithful and effective. So here's some application for you. And the first thing is, are you a child of light or a child of darkness? I mean, are you a child of God or are you a child of Satan? And if you haven't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, then you are a child of darkness. You don't know Jesus. And that is your greatest need. The second thing is, for Christians, examine your life, Christian. What fruit are you producing? Are you pursuing God? Are you pursuing things that honor God? Are you growing in your relationship with God? Thirdly, stand firm for the truth and expose it in love. I mean, this is something that we have got to start reminding ourselves of, that we can't just flee darkness. We have to stand firm for the truth and expose it in love. And lastly, the command, the exhortation that Paul gave, I just want to reiterate it. Get to work. This is for all of us. We have work to do. And I want to encourage you, find a local church. And if you do have a church that you belong to, that you're a member of, serve in that church. Join a connection group or a small group or whatever it is for you, that the small group ministry. Be involved in a small group ministry somewhere. Start a ministry where you are, at work, or maybe even for students at school or college age kids. Whatever that ministry looks like, God's given you the ability to lead and the gifts to do it. Man, be faithful with that opportunity. Invest in a lost person. I mean, we have work to do all around us. Jesus said that the Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There's no problem with the harvest. The problem is with the laborers, is that we grow weary, we get tired. And listen, I understand, I do too. But we have to realize that difficulty does not negate responsibility. Just because something is difficult and hard does not mean that we can just throw up our hands and do nothing. So I pray this has exhorted you and encouraged you and is pushing you to walk as a child of the light. Remember these precepts, remember the principles, and like Paul said, let's get to work because the days are evil and time is short. Thank you for listening today. If this episode exhorted, comforted, or encouraged you, please share it with others. I can't wait to be with you again soon. Be blessed, my friends.